Think of You by Broken Social Scene. Currently on tour from Toronto, but they're on tour heading off to Europe in September, and who knows when they'll be back in Vancouver. Next up is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Some ducks don't sound like ducks at all. Some, like the Harlequin, squeak, earning them the nickname of sea mice. Harlequins are unique in the duck world in other ways as well. Alone among North American waterfowl, harlequins breed along fast-flowing rivers and streams. Quick and agile in rushing white water, they dive to the bottom of mountain streams for food. What kind of name is harlequin for a duck? If you're lucky enough to spot one of these rare birds in winter, perhaps along a rocky shore of the Puget Sound in Washington or Penobscot Bay in Maine, you may guess the answer. Dressed in multicolor patches, Harlequin is the jester of traditional Italian comedy. The male duck with the jester's name is just as striking, with his slate-blue feathers and vivid white, black, and chestnut markings. The rigorous lives of harlequins require great adaptability, transitioning from freshwater to salt, from meals of caddisfly larvae to crabs and barnacles. Some, in fact, migrate by traveling directly downstream from the mountains to the ocean. Constant, however, is their unmatched ability to swim and feed in the turbulent waters where they live. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
Peter R.H. is going to be up in about 15 minutes with a discussion, a talk about John Lennon, following up on...
It's called the Canadian Philosophy Show. It actually has a SFU master's student. It was part of it, but it's in Nanaimo... Yeah. University Station.
And we air it here on CJ, Thursday mornings, I think.
Thursday from 9 to 10.
Yeah. So you should tune into that show because they have a lot of interesting discussions. Because it really is, it is actually a show about philosophy. It's right. That's not just like a clever title. It's actually what it's about.
It is. And for some, I'll bring up how apropos it was to have John Lennon. I'll give you an example of a past topic. Aristotle had this concept of friendship that one is just based on, you're just doing for your needs. He's a good customer and so on. And the other one is that you find this person like an entertaining person. And the third is that you actually have a higher level. It's based on virtue.
Right.
And that was an interesting show to go over that.
Cool.
And so but this was sort of a bit different. They were saying, should John Lennon be considered a philosopher and so on? So I'm going to give a bit of my views on this.
Excellent. And we'll be back with that in about 15 minutes. Now it's time for Gardening with Embark. And one of the programs that we talk, of course, to Pablo Vimas from Embark every week with his gardening tips. One of the programs Embark operates is their learning gardens, and three times a year in the spring, in the summer, and then in the fall, they invite a cohort of 10 or 15 people, depends how many people sign up, to become part of an intensive, and they learn all about gardening. It's a great program. They get a garden box to look after, which you can produce an awful lot of food from. So we went out to the Learning Garden last week to check in on the start of a brand new cohort with Pablo.
Sometimes we use the wrong tool for the job. So one thing for the garden is using the right tool for the right job.
My name's Oliver.
So why are you interested in the gardening program here that Embark offers?
I think, like most people, I'm just interested in the produce, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we all like fresh produce, local produce.
What makes you want to grow it yourself, though?
I really enjoy cooking, and, you know, there's a huge... you can feel proud of yourself, you know, when you're cooking with your own produce, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, when you have that dish that you're trying to make, and you have... ingredients that you planted like 3 months ago, it's a different level of excitement.
What experience do you have prior to joining this program with gardening?
I've actually gone with Pablo quite a bit.
He's
amazing. He has decades worth of information.
Absolutely.
And he's gardened and been around the world for different plants. So.
Excellent. Thanks.
All right, just put it over there. Okay, so we start watering one. Indeed, in this garden we use a watering one instead of a watering can, which is usually the logo of a gardener. A watering can. When you hold water, water is very heavy, and each of our garden beds will need at least 8 watering cans. So, yeah. After the second trip, you are thinking, I don't want to do more trips. 8 trips for each garden bed, and then you come to do twice a week. Okay, so we gardeners here in the SFU, we use, in our learning gardens, we use a watering 1 week.
Why have you guys joined this program?
For me, I really like plants, but I did not have enough space to grow them or even able to understand them. So I wanted guidance from someone experienced and also meet like-minded people who also like plants.
Now, we have tools like the sickle. This is a Japanese sickle, which is easy to remove to loosen the soil. Or we have the sickle for harvesting. So when you use here, that is very important. Why we need to have gardening gloves, because this is very sharp, and the skin can be just very cut very roughly, and takes time to heal. Hand trowel. Okay, this is not a shovel. is a trowel. Okay? Many people say a shovel. Like, I'm looking for the shovel. There's no shovel here. We use this pry tool. This is our favorite tool.
I've done gardening every spring when I go home to visit my family in Edmonton, but I haven't been able, had the space to do it in Vancouver. So I just, it's something I wanted to do more year-round and on my own.
Right. How about you?
I've never gardened before.
Oh, so you're brand new to it.
Yeah. I just wanted to learn a thing or two, so that's why I'm here.
It's a good basic life skill to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Spading fork. Okay. Spading fork helps us to loosen the soil when we need it. The spading fork is called the spading because it has the tines are flat. They are not circular. So they are not pitchfork. It's like a spading fork. It goes in the ground, and the objective of this is to loosen the soil by moving the fork back and forward, or side to side, depending how you're working.
How about you?
I've never gardened before.
Oh, so you're brand new to it.
Yeah. I just wanted to learn a thing or two, so that's why I'm here.
It's a good basic life skill to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you?
So I took a break from school, actually, and I've always seen, like, the gardens here. I wanted to join and meet like-minded people.
The heart of a garden is the composter. Anything that we don't eat and is still healthy and good, is not infected with insects or diseases, goes into composter. And after a few months, you need to harvest the composter. And for that, we have little DIY soil sifter. So you put your composter in here, and all the crumbly soil will come through, keeping all the pieces of wood chips, pieces of plant material that still needs to be decomposed. So that's what you need.
First, I live in a basement. I don't got any sunshine. And second is, I only know how to deal with some kind of flowers, and I know there's a big difference between flower growing and crops growing. Right. So that's what I'm trying to figure out here from this experience.
And finally, here in Learning Garden in Bath, we use a high intensive gardening method, because we have a small space and we need to optimize that space as maximum as we can, grow as much food as we can. And we use the square foot gardening approach, which is a very intensive approach of growing vegetables. And for that, we use our seeding square. So this is 12 inches by 12 inches. And in this space, we can grow 16 carrots. We can grow 9 beets, 4 lettuces, and 1 kale. All right, so this square in here, this type, these are 4 square feet. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4. In this space, we can have 4 times 16. How much is this 4 times 16? 64 carrots. How many carrots we eat a week?
Not
64. 3 in a bunch if you go to the supermarket. 3 in a bunch. So you have 64 divided by 3, you kind of 21 bunches of carrots and all coming at the same time because you have planted them at the same time. So you can see, Oliver's like, 64 carrots is like a, even if you are into plant-based food, a lot of carrots to eat. You know, a lot of carrots to eat. So this system, as I showed here, is very intensive and help us to realize how much we need to plant, not to overproduce.
Putting in your garden? Because you get your own little plot and you're going to be sort of making some choices about what you're going to be doing. Or are you going to let Pablo help you with that?
I don't think I'm picky. I just want to put seeds in ground and harvest. I'm not even, too concerned with what I live like. I eat any of it. I just want to do the act of gardening, I guess, more.
But over here, he's very interested in getting the food. Is that part? Because, I mean, the gardening and getting in the garden and getting your hands dirty and, making something grow is a whole thing on its own. Then there's taking all your produce and things you've created yourself and turning that into food. What do you guys think about that?
It's
that's what I did with my tomatoes when I was little. Like, yeah. My mom was taking care of it, like the fruit, like fruit tomatoes. So I think it's interesting because my dad was pouring coffee over it and it basically killed it. So, yeah, it was fun eating, like, things you grow yourself.
Are you going to... What do you think you're going to do with these skills as you go forward in your life?
My mom has a kitchen garden back at home, and I think I really want to contribute to that, maybe grow some things of my own, maybe cook with them as well.
Yeah. Anyone else? How are you?
Well, my partner is kind of getting interested in gardening, so I'd hope to share some tips and tricks with him.
Excellent. It's great. Garden is a great thing to do with another person. How about you? You know, you don't have to have a plan.
I have nothing to say.
Oh my god. See what the guy, what the garden is telling.
Harvest?
Yes. Harvest me. Otherwise, if you don't harvest, goes into this. Flowers. Oh, it goes into that. Flowers. So if we don't harvest on time, plant keeps growing. Remember, broccoli is a flower, cauliflower is a flower. All right, so that is telling harvest. Okay, what about here?
Kale.
Yeah, ready to eat, yeah. What about here?
Cabbage,
yeah, cabbage.
And is that peas?
Eat these peas. And what about this? Swiss chard. Yeah, this is okay. Smell it. They use your sense of smell.
Yeah,
tomato. Okay. And what about that?
Lettuce.
Lettuce.
I don't know what type is there specific.
Yeah, that is a leaf lettuce. Leaf lettuce. Okay.
It also should be harvested.
Yep. You can. Yeah. It is going into a flower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the middle, and when the plant are living. Okay, so I will invite you to take a bit of this and put in your tongue.
It's bitter.
It's very bitter. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so the sap of the lettuce tends to get bitter as it matures. So if we leave this go into flower, all the leaves will taste to that bitterness. Okay? And never mind how much dressing or fancy dressing you add, that bitterness stays in there. And then you are like,
that's a little sample of the newest gardening cohort starting in the Embark Learning Gardens just last week. They're going to be working together to work the learning garden through the rest of the summer, and each of them gets a plot, a 4x4 plot, which is actually it's not just a plot, it's actually the garden box. Which is actually, you know, you might think, oh, well, it's only 16 square feet, but it's actually enough to produce quite a lot of produce for an individual or a single household. Of course, all that...
Enough so you can't plan a murder and put it in there.
Yeah, probably a little small for that. All right, we'll be back with Peter right after these messages.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
You're going to be talking about John Lennon and his appearance.
Hopefully we got the song ready.
Yeah, we'll get it out in a second. Just maybe introduce.
One thing I'm going to bring up, which was not brought up on the show, and I hate to bring up the competition, which is The View, which is, you shouldn't be seeing that show, you should be hearing us, but anyway. Right. Paul McCartney was on The View about 10 years ago, and he mentioned, it was in 1966, he went to the house of Bertrand Russell, which is a philosopher, in British philosopher. He actually was born 1875, died 1973. So he went to him, and Bertrand Russell, with a lot of things I disagree with him, but one thing I did agree with him was he was against American involvement in Vietnam. And he talked to Paul about this, and Paul said on the show that he brought it to John Lennon, and he said, well, John Lennon kind of went with the activism more than he did. Mm-hmm. And I guess the most famous one is in 1969 with Yoko Ono. They had but they were in bed for a week. But
the bedding
it was for peace.
Yeah.
And actually, the comic strip author Al Capp, who did Little Abner, confronted them. Was his we had Bob Hope 2 weeks ago with that sort of mentality, you know. Yeah. But I think that was effective. I'm going to say he was using his well-knownness, and I think it worked well. The other thing about the Imagine song is that Bertrand Russell was for a one-world government. And he died in 1973, so he didn't die with the Cold War ending. He has written, in fact, in a 1952 essay, he said, this one world government will be established with democracy in some areas and totalitarianism in other areas. That's what he said. That's what he said. So if you hear Imagine, you know, it's sort of like, imagine there's no countries. Well, what's that supposed to mean? And so he's sort of doing this atheistic kind of thing, no hell and no heaven below us, which is like, remember the Soviet Union said, oh, we don't really want to. I think Christianity was sort of practiced in the Soviet Union, but it was sort of curtailed. It sort of suggests that.
So let's listen to the song here.
Okay. Possessions. And So I guess this is a type of Marxism. I don't know if Bertrand Russell went that far.
Yeah, I would say not Marxism, but because that's a statement around, you know, what's the word for it? But, you know,
well,
not making the self the center of your world. Like, if you don't need to own all, and maybe anti-materialism.
And that's one of the reasons, supposedly, that he got assassinated, because there was an Esquire article about John Lennon. And Mark Chapman was very incensed about, imagine there's no possessions, John, yourself. But what happened? I'm going to say what happened economically to all the Beatles.
Well,
it kind of goes with...
Okay, I was just wondering what about the Canadian philosophy show inspired you to expand on this topic?
Well, one thing they didn't mention, the Bertrand Russell kind of hookup with it.
In the context of John Lennon being a philosopher.
Yeah,
himself,
I mean, because, as I said, it was Paul McCartney who approached Bertrand Russell first. And he actually enlightened them about American involvement in Vietnam, which was good. But I'm wondering how much of this Imagine song is sort of influenced by Bertrand Russell, because he was for a one-world government. He says, imagine there's no nations. But just in this brief time of what happened was that in 1970, the Beatles were in a very complicated financial situation. They were cash poor.
They'd created their own company to manage themselves.
Which was very which was mismanagement. Which was actually because there was high taxation in the United Kingdom. Of course, not for the Queen of England. In the late 50s, she devised something where she wouldn't pay any taxation herself.
Okay, but back to John Lennon.
Okay, so what happened was that Yoko Ono kind of arranged all the finances in a way. He kind of was sort of oblivious to it. And it was a kind of a complicated arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Chapman read the Esquire article, and that was one of the reasons. He said, you're a hypocrite, and you're dead. And that's what happened. I would have stopped them from doing it, because I'm for a civil system society, you know.
Yeah.
But I would have done it more for his life than John's, I must admit. But I would have stopped nevertheless. One thing about it, from an academic standpoint, Bertrand Russell, they don't really bring up this world government stuff. That sort of more of the conspiratorial thing, which I have heard all the things, but it's backed up. I mean, I'm not telling you something that I just heard from Alex Jones. You can look up an essay, 1952 essay by Bertrand Russell on world government.
Yeah.
So I guess that's not really talked about now in academia, and that's why the Bertrand Russell angle on this was not really brought up in the Canadian philosophy show. But I brought it up now.
All right. John Lennon and philosophy, and Bertrand Russell and the Canadian philosophy show. Canadian philosophy show is a show that talks about, it really is about philosophy.
By philosophy students.
Yep, people who know what they're talking about.
Well, and sometimes, but they don't know what they're talking about. Okay.
Very interesting, because you talk about it. You've talked about it a number of times. Thursday mornings at 9 here on CJSF 90.1 FM. For 1 hour, 9 to 10 a.m. Coming up in about 30 seconds is Democracy Now! Here on CJSF. It comes to you, of course, every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And they'll be talking about all the news of the world. Tomorrow on Speak Up with Danny Nesvadirani, Danny will be sharing his interview with Desiree Patterson on her new exhibition, Interglacial, at the Reach Gallery Museum in Abbotsford, BC. Later in the hour, Danny will be talking about this weekend's Katsulano Street Festival, which happening on 4th Avenue just this past weekend. Lots of fun. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Right now.
Hi, I'm